The Damian G Show, brought to you by Anchor.fm, your one-stop shop for podcast needs. This audio version only will not appear on any of the streamings, so please feel free to like, download, and subscribe on Anchor, as well as all of your favorite streaming platforms. Now that I got all that good stuff out of the way, I really wasn't going to do an episode today. I wasn't even in the mood until I realized again what today is for me here on October 13th of 2020. So I've been doing this relationships and dating show with my co-host Girl Friday for a while now, not really realizing that as much as we talk trash about dating and relationships, you can't be single without your relationships ending. It's kind of, unless you're into that kind of thing, that's not my thing, but if you are into that kind of thing, I'm not going to yuck your yum. But for me personally, today would have been my wedding anniversary. I would have been still married to my ex-wife, and today was our wedding day. It was a beautiful day. It was a chilly day in New York City. Glenspie, New York, upstate New York, kind of the border between Pennsylvania and New York, which I didn't even know bordered on each other until until we found the wedding spot. So I'm going to walk people through how I got to this point, how I got to that day. Because for me personally, I have never been that lucky with relationships. I've usually struggled with a lot of things in relationships. And the whole point of today's podcast is I'm going to walk you through the process of getting to the altar and everything in between and the then what. And some of the lessons I've learned now that I'm divorced. And today would have been my wedding anniversary. So I think I can speak for both of us when I say when we went to go get the marriage license, it was kind of weird to see all these people at the county clerk's office. I'll never forget this. We stopped off to get Dunkin' Donuts, get some bagels and some coffee or some tea or whatever the case may be. And then we wound up waiting to do our paperwork and sign our wedding license and all that good stuff. And we saw the amount of people that were waiting to fill out the forms or even get married. My parents, full disclosure, they got married at City Hall. So we went to one of those types of courthouses. We're seeing people in their wedding outfits, suits, wedding dresses, and the like. Some people are overdoing it. Some people are just literally showing up in shorts and t-shirts to get married. Again, not trying to yuck anybody's yum. But at the same token, I can speak for both of us when I say we both realized, not that we didn't want to get married, I think we both realized we didn't need the party. We didn't need the party. We didn't need the pomp and the circumstance. And it was still a very small wedding. I think it was less than 70 people. I know we booked about 60. Probably only 50 showed up. And we realized that in there, we should have just kept it small, or even just gone to City Hall and done that route and then had a party at a friend's house. I think that was on the table at some point. We were going to have our reception in the backyard of one of her friend's homes, which was a very large backyard. And I didn't know a lot of people. I wasn't tight with a lot of people. To be perfectly honest, my family wasn't even invited to my wedding. And that was a personal call on my end. She never stopped me from making that call. All she did was support me in that. But I think for me, we realized then, we don't need to do a party. We can just kind of say, do you? Yep. Do you? Yep. And then keep it moving. So number one, that's the first thing I learned during this whole process, was don't do it for the party. Another thing I realized on the way to the altar is that if you honestly think that getting married is going to solve any of the problems you had before you got married. So I can tell you from my end, I can't speak for her. But for me, I was not the communicator I am now. I'm a little bit more direct. I'm a little bit more open and secure and rooted in who I am, where I can have uncomfortable conversations and not have to worry about upsetting the other person. I don't fear someone being upset with me because I'm saying something they may not want to hear, or they are going to be uncomfortable with it. Not because I'm a jerk by any stretch of the imagination, but because it needs to be had. And there were some conversations that her and I should have had long before I even proposed, to be quite honest. So number two, things that I learned on the way to the altar was, do not think the wedding is going to solve the problems. You gotta talk that stuff out, man. Me and Sarah talk about it on air all the time. Open communication. And yet, I didn't do that. Again, I can't speak for my ex-wife. I can just speak for me in that instance. The number three thing I learned on the way to it is, when you're putting a wedding together and you're as laid back as I am, you will still be stressed out because you have to figure out how to pay for it. Now, my parents, again, weren't invited, and they are poor. They had no money to pay for this wedding. And this was all put on our various credit cards, and we wound up going into debt just for the wedding. And it wasn't an expensive wedding. I think ours was less than $10,000. But even then, I put about $7,000 of it on my credit card. So that's another thing I learned. Do not. If you cannot afford a wedding, if you cannot afford to have the party, don't do it. Don't do it. Now, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say that I didn't want to make my ex-wife happy in that realm, because she was my best friend and I wanted to see my best friend happy. And I really thought I can do this. I can put this on my credit card for now and I will gladly pay it all off within 6 months after the wedding's over, because I'm a pretty good saver and I don't usually overspend. But that's another thing I learned. If you don't got it, don't spend it. And I learned this now in terms of my finances, because I follow a lot of investment YouTubers and podcasts. If you can't buy at least three of them, you can't afford them. So that was something else I learned on the way to the altar. I also learned that more often than not, the people you actually have in your wedding party on your side, I guarantee you, 3 or 4 years later, especially if the marriage doesn't work out, you're not going to talk to those people. I saw it happen with my brothers, where I was a groomsman at all of their weddings. And I guarantee you, my brothers don't speak to any of the groomsmen that he had or they had at their wedding. So when picking groomsmen, y'all, don't pick 7 or 8 just because the bride has 7 or 8, or don't pick 10 if the groom has 10 and the bride only has 5, because then you got to make up an extra 5. Because I guarantee to you, I'm doing the numbers in my head. I honestly think I talk to 2 of my groomsmen regularly now at this stage of my life. 2 groomsmen and 1 groomswoman is the only people I talk to now. And I think we had a wedding party of about 14, 15 people. That's another thing. If you're going to have the party, if you can afford the party, don't have a lot of bridal shower. Don't do all that. Another thing I learned was, if you have any doubts about yourself, not about the marriage, about yourself, it goes back to number 2. Please communicate that. That was one of the biggest mistakes I did, is that I didn't tell my ex-wife, hey, I'm feeling a lot of pressure. I know you are too. Can we talk about this? And just do a check-in about how you're both feeling. Because I knew she was stressed out, but I never chose to ask her. I never chose to have her vent to me. I was more worried about my own selfish shenanigans of getting to the wedding, because I'm a dude and dudes don't care. I just show up and that's a wrap. Yay. But I wish I could have taken that back. I definitely wish I could have taken that back. But all in all, you know, some of these things, it seems simple, but when you're swept up in the planning, the prepping, the day before, 2 days before, and it's funny because I saw a picture of me 3 days before my wedding pop up on my Instagram, and I commented, I said, I haven't looked this cool in a long time. And I had the lineup, the shaped up haircut, real nice put together. I have my leather jacket on, walking the streets of New York, and my tinted glasses. I used to wear glasses that had those tints to it. And I thought I looked really cool. And then I saw my wedding photos. And I still thought we both looked really good. But what it's done for me, it's reminded me of who I was, who I was trying to be, versus who I really am. And truth be told, the more I think about that day, it was such a blur. I got 3 hours of sleep the night before. I know she didn't sleep much. I remember some of my groomsmen showed up, and it was early. And people know I'm not a morning person, but I remember two of my groomsmen going outside on the roof of the place we got married, and they were just there, and we saw these deer walking around. Thought it was cool. And now that I'm talking about it with you on air, it was such a blur. I don't remember much. I remember getting kicked out of the bedroom or the room we were sharing for her to get ready. And then this whole tradition of, you can't see the bride, Damon, you can't see the bride. Look, I don't care for traditions. Her and I were two people who we kind of bucked tradition. And this brings up my next point on the way to the altar that I wish I could have known, or at least I could have stuck to my guns on. If you are in a couple that doesn't do a lot of the traditional wedding norms, if you guys don't have typical gender roles, if you're both not religious, stop acquiescing to other people's wants on your wedding day. Just do it your way. Now, I only had one request. I said, listen, the bride comes out, da-da-da-da, and all that other good stuff, right? But we're just standing there, kind of waiting for you to show up. But I'm sorry, am I not an equal participant in this wedding? So I basically said, okay. And a lot of you know I like professional wrestling. I cover professional wrestling professionally as a broadcaster, formerly as a journalist. I wanted to come out to my own theme song. And lo and behold, she acquiesced because I nagged. I said, listen, lady, I'm not asking for much here, but can I at least get this theme song to come out to? Lo and behold, I got it. I got the theme song I wanted. And for those who are interested, look up The Rising Sun, the theme of Shinsuke Nakamura, but the violin version of The Rising Sun. And I did a little song and dance. And if you've seen Shinsuke's entrance, it has a lot of theatrics. I tried to replicate it as much as I possibly could, but it was exhausting. By the time I got to the front, I was winded. I had to catch my breath. It's like, wow, I literally only just went 20 yards and I'm beat, jumping around, doing bodily motions that at the time my ass had no intention of trying to do. And yet here I am trying to be acrobatic on my wedding day, looking all nice. And then after the ceremony, I will say, I remember distinctly her reading her vows, and she was crying. And a lot of it didn't register to me until after the wedding was over, until after we went back and watched the vows. I know I'm a smart ass, so one of my go-to deflectionary tactics is to make a joke when I'm uncomfortable, because I don't want to be seen as vulnerable. So while she's crying, pouring her heart out, my dumb ass is saying, you're crying already? Like, I make a smart ass comment because she started bawling right before she opened her mouth. Oh, and I'm going to walk two steps back actually here on the Damon G Show, anchor.fm. I'm going to say that when we did the first look, I was speechless. But then I felt like crap because I didn't cry. I see it, pictures of these men crying when they see their wives. And this was my best friend in the world. And she was so cute. She was so beautiful. And I remember thinking that this woman's going to marry my my crazy ass? Like, why? You know, why is she gonna marry me? You know, I'm a jackass. I'm this, I'm that. A lot of self-deprecation was going on in my head at that moment. And then our photographer, here's another thing. Wedding photographers. If your wedding photographer is gonna make you do some acrobatic bullshit, don't go on and get another wedding photographer. I know we're trying to keep this under budget, but sometimes you get what you pay for and you keep it under budget and you wind up looking really stupid. I look horrible in all my wedding photos, in my opinion. I look really bad. She looks really good. Not me. Again, 3 hours of sleep. I tried some weird hair gel, some weird hair wax that made me look bald. Even though I already had a short haircut, it made me look bald. So, and I look tired. I have this one bag under my left eye. It's very pronounced, and you can just see it. And at the time, actually, I wasn't in the best of shape either. I guess maybe that 6 months leading up to it, I just kept snacking, and instead of losing weight, I was putting on weight. You know how people say they're gonna get in shape for their wedding? Oh, I got in shape. I got round. Or maybe hexagonal. I'm not really sure. But I didn't cry, and I didn't cry during my vows, and I think a lot of that has to do with just me at the time not being able to properly voice what I feel. As I said earlier at the beginning of this podcast, I've often had difficulty sharing my true feelings, bottling it up, because no man really wants to talk about their feelings. But I'm begging y'all, if you got stuff, that go to therapy, go get a life coach, something, get it out. Because maybe then I would have felt something. It wasn't her. I could tell you that much. It had nothing to do with her. She was attractive. She looked really good in the wedding dress. But I just couldn't muster any. Even my vows, in my estimation, sucked. You know, I said it like I would say it if I was talking from the bottom of my bitter New York heart. That's another thing, gents and ladies. If you're going to do your vows, just be honest. I remember an episode of How I Met Your Mother where Barney was trying to come up with wedding vows, and he just was struggling. He just could not come up with anything. And then at the end of it all, it's basically, I'm going to tell you the truth. I am going to be brutally honest with you, even if it upsets you. And I expect the same in return. You don't got to do this romantical bullshit, this Disney bullshit of, I promise to cherish you. I promise to carry you on my back over the puddles of death. Or whatever notebookian style love letter crap it is. Be honest. A lot of this comes down to communication and honesty. Just being upfront with who you are and how you are. But the rest of the day was a blur. I remember specifically there was one moment where everybody was dancing on the dance floor, and I found myself eating alone on my own wedding day. And I was sitting at our wedding table. She's dancing, our friends are dancing, there's great music, people are loving it. And I'm sitting alone, just eating my food, and I spaced out. Like, I felt like I was there, but I wasn't there. And again, this has less to do with her and more to do with me at the time. And even now, as I'm talking to you about it, I'm thinking, damn, Damon, really? You were at your wedding and you felt nothing? You felt no anything? That should have told me right there that getting married was a problem. Because we're conditioned to feel love and joy. And I'll be the first to admit that's something I've been working on, my own therapeutic backgrounds, is trying to feel, allowing myself to feel more joy and love. And at the time, I just, isolation at that moment was deafening for me. And as I think about it now, you can even tell in my voice, it's something that haunts me to this day. And all in all, it was a blur. The steak was good. The meal was good. I know some of my guest reported that they drank too much and mixed too many foods. Oh, and if you're getting married, you're doing the party and all this good stuff, make sure you get all the doggy bag food. Because I remember distinctly, I went up to the caterers and I said, hey, pack me and the missus up stuff. Because I know there's people that didn't show up to this wedding. And there was still 2 hours left in the wedding. And they literally told me, oh, we've already packed it up and given it to the staff. Oh, I'm sorry. Did we not pay for this? I don't mind sharing, mind you, but that steak was really damn good. But that day was just a blur. And then we were so exhausted. You know, we just kind of reveled in it. And then we after the party, I remember this, we went, we counted our envelopes, yay, money, woo, gifts. And because we stayed the night before on site for free, we decided to stay, I think it was a Best Western, I'm not sure, for the night, because we were going gun shooting the next day. We were going to a shooting range. So we wanted to just be casual, ready, whatever the case may be. And I'll never forget, we changed so fast into our normal clothes. And people were like, oh, you couldn't wait to get out of your stuff. We're like, man, this isn't us. This isn't us. It wasn't us. Suited up, you know, her in her dress. Admittedly, we look damn good physically. I personally think in our outfits. Like, our outfits were on point. But we just couldn't wait to just put our regular clothes on. And as even now, me talking to you all about it, I can say, I'm probably never getting married again. But in retrospect, marry someone who gets you if you're going to do it. Or if you're going to be in a long-term relationship, if you find someone that complements you and builds to you and adds to you, not completes, complements. Don't throw that away. Don't throw that away. Because I've met a few women in my life that have fit that description, that have complemented my life and who I am, and have accepted the quirks and the idioms that I have about myself, and hence why I'm still single, ladies. I used to do the whole push away thing because I had low self-worth, and Sarah and I talk about this all the time. And then when people ask me, well, why didn't your marriage work? I don't get into specifics. I'll just say ego. I always say ego because we both had egos. We both drew lines in the sand and nobody blinked. That's the most base way I can put that. If you're going into a marriage with an ego, it will not work. There's something else for the list. If you're not willing to go from a single player on this team to a team player, it isn't going to work. Now, I'm not saying acquiesce to everything that your partner wants, but when we talk about communication and compromise, those are things that should not be taken for granted at all. And yet I did that. And I think I can say this confidently. So did she. We both had egos about certain things. And you take two stubborn people who didn't really want to get married. That's another thing. If you're okay in your long-term relationship and you guys have promised, I'm not saying promise rings, but you're in it for the long haul, you don't need a piece of jewelry. You don't need the party. You don't need... We weren't even religious. I'm more spiritual than anything, so we had an officiant. Even though her family wanted it to have a lot of references to God, me as a former Jehovah's Witness, and her, my ex-wife, not being overly religious either, poo-pooed that. But I honestly think if you stick to your guns, if you don't want to get married, don't feel pressured to do so. I can tell you, I wanted to marry my best friend, yes. But if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't have proposed. I would have just kept doing what we were doing. And as I said earlier, I would have just rectified the mistakes that I made. I would have communicated more. I would have been open to what she had to say. I wouldn't have put everything in my stomach and just let it erupt. I would have shared my doubts. I would have shared my concerns, not about the relationship, but about myself. I just would have put all the cards on the table. And that's one of the last things I'm going to leave you with here on Damian G Show. Put your cards on the table. Once you do that, your move. Like, you guys put it all in, like in poker. Then you get to really see what's what. No secrets, no double back sneakies, no egos, no parties. Don't give in to peer pressure, familial pressure. Trust your gut. For me, trust your gut. I really thought I'd still be married by now, back then. I really thought when I proposed, I'm like, oh yeah, my best friend in the world, I'm going to stay together and yada, yada, yada. But yet, there is a reason why more than 50% of marriages end in divorce in America. But that's a different show. But I just wanted to take some time and just let you guys know, those are some of the lessons I've learned getting to the aisle, being that today would have been my wedding anniversary. And I hope she's well. You know, people ask me all the time, do you hate your ex-wife? Do you have animus toward her? No. I hope she's doing well. And I am forever grateful for the time we spent together. I often think about all the good stuff and the good times we spent together. And, you know, we went our separate ways. I haven't seen her since I've moved out of New York, and I live in Dallas now. So there's that. And I hope this helps. I hope this is cathartic for someone. For me, it's something that I've never really talked about with people in depth. And I hope me sharing my experiences helps a lot of you all out as well. So thank you for tuning in to the Damian G Show. Again, brought to you by Anchor.fm, your one-stop shop for podcast needs. And thank you to the Damian's Advocate Show. Find that on all your streaming platforms as well. Twitch, the Damian G Show. You can find it on Twitch, YouTube, and the like. And we'll be back later on this week with another episode of mine and Sarah's Damian's Advocate. And until then, without you, there is no us. And be well, everybody. Love y'all.